Hello, welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin. I am currently in Ireland. We have already done, I'm opening for the Impractical Jokers in Europe. We've already done Belfast. We've done London twice. Now we're in Dublin. And then tomorrow we do Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, and then London two more times. I would promote for them, but all the shows are sold out. They are basically the Beatles in Europe. It's absolutely mind-blowing. They walking around with them. I have a lot of famous friends that are comedians, and I've never seen anything like this before. It's the number one comedy show in Europe because they play it on Comedy Central here, and in America it's True TV. And they're obviously big in America, but in Europe they sold out the O2 Arena, which is where Adele and Kanye West and the biggest acts in the world play. They sold it out four times. All the seats. It's bananas, guys. And I get to do 20 minutes up front, and I get to close with a whole sing-along. If you follow me on social media, the pics are insane. So that's happening right now. And I'll do a ton of episodes with the guys and with what I'm learning in Europe. One thing that's amazing about doing comedy in Europe is they don't care about race. They don't give a shit. They don't want racial jokes. They don't want racial relief. They don't know why Americans are so obsessed with race. They just want you to be funny. And it is a big, 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 big relief for me because Europe doesn't have that dark cloud hanging over their head like America does, because their slaves were white and everyone was kind of a slave at one point. And they're pretty open and obvious about slavery here, to the point where they're called slaves, Slavic. I don't know if people realize that, but Slav means slave. The Germans were slaves to the Italians, and the Irish were slaves to the British, and the British were slaves to the Romans, and the French were slaves to the Romans, and the Romans were slaves to the Visigoths. So it's kind of like one of those histories where there is no clear-cut good guy, bad guy situation, and social classes aren't made up in the color of your skin here. So they just don't give a shit. They do care about religion, and they do have their own gilded age type social class situation here, but it is not racial. Like, for example, in Belfast, if I said United Kingdom, some people would be angry. If I said Ireland, some people would be angry. The split is Protestant versus Catholic. Basically, here's a good Irish joke. So a guy walks up to an Irish guy. I don't know. That's not the way it starts. So one man walks up to another man and says, are you Protestant or are you Catholic? And the other guy says, I'm an atheist. And he goes, yeah, but which one don't you believe in? I love that joke because it kind of sums up the reality that it's about the tribe you're from, not the actual religion. Because the difference between Catholic and Protestant is basically, how do you feel about the Pope? And at the end of Our Father, do you say, for thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen? That's the only difference. In Catholic, you go, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that's it. And in Protestant, you go, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us those our trespasses of those who trespass against us. For thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the difference. Wars are fought over that shit, ladies and gentlemen. That little tiny difference. So it's good to be here. Anyway, I'm going to break down one set I did in Florida. I was in Fort Myers. I got to bring Amy and Walter. It kicked ass. I got to hang out with my buddy Mike from Sword and Scale, which is one of the biggest podcasts in the world. Gets like 6 million downloads a month. It's all about murder. And he's a master. And it's so funny hanging out with a dude like him because his whole life is true crime, but yet he's very funny. And he's working on a live show. So he came to all my shows. We drank hard during the day. We'd all hang out and riff jokes. And he's got a great laugh, great guy. Doesn't change a lot when he drinks, which means he doesn't, either he doesn't have a lot of demons or he's just very in control of his. Great time. But one show in particular, the New Year's Eve show, people just kept sending me shots. And I don't know if people just want to see me hammered on stage now, but I might have to stop doing this. Because I also am a pretty good drinker. Like, I don't get drunk. Like, in this show, I do 7 shots of Patron sent up from the audience. And it seems unprofessional, but the owners of the clubs are fine with it. They're like, all about it. Because I guess more people buy alcohol. And since I don't become an asshole, they're fine. I can run the light a little bit. But for my own sanity, I think I may have to back off on this whole drinking on stage thing. Because sometimes people will send a shot or 2 shots. But 7? But and the thing about these crowds is the New Year's crowd, everybody's a lot older in this area. Fort Myers, it's gorgeous. Amy's obsessed with it. She wants to get a place down there because the beaches are so sick and it just feels pretty safe. But people are kind of old and rich. And one show I made fun of them by saying that it's like they're missing a pint of blood. Like, they're good people, but they just don't have a lot of chispa. You know, a lot of chutzpah, a lot of that kick in the ass. But that's cool. But on New Year's, I expect people to be in good spirits. I'm just going to go through this list. I don't really have an order here. This isn't going to be the longest episode, but there's some funny shit here. And thank you, everybody, for the Patreon. Patreon.com/WDTL. Why don't they laugh if you want to support the page? I just uploaded an episode that will only be on there because it's a very personal episode, and I also break down the rhetoric of Meryl Streep's most recent speech. And I don't want to be misquoted, and I don't want to be that exposed for my, like, very personal things in my life. So the podcast itself is great for this type of thing because anyone who downloads a podcast and listens to the whole thing is usually very rational and not insane like a lot of online is. But even that, I mean, I get enough downloads a month where it makes me nervous to talk about certain things. So I'm just going to put it to my Patreon users. And to join, it's anywhere from $1 to $25 a month. And whatever you pay, you all get the same access to more content. I don't believe that in a community our size, it's small enough to be egalitarian. I don't think anybody's going to take advantage of that. If you don't have a lot of income, for $12 a year, you can have all the access as the people who give $25 a month, who just have more disposable income. I'm not going to punish anyone for not having income, but just the act itself of just giving a dollar lets me know that it's just another level of commitment to the crew so that I can say more personal stuff. And I don't have to just stick to the brand of why didn't they laugh. And I don't even like the word brand, but it is a fact that I can't just do anything on here. Like, the concept of the podcast has to stay consistent. Like, I have to analyze jokes and why people laugh or not laugh at my jokes, or else I'm just doing another podcast. So, yeah. Oh, and in London, I'm doing some shows myself, the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, I believe, starting on Monday at Top Secret Comedy Club in London. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm at the Museum of Comedy. Much smaller venues. I'll be coming off 4 15,000-seat arenas, and I will be going to 70, maybe 100 seaters myself.
You know,
but
water,
when you're in a new
water.
City, you got to start small.
That's reason. All right,
here's the first riff. There we go.
I like to read a lot of books. I've read a lot of comedy, Fort Myers. You know? And if you drank water for most of human existence, I'm talking right up until the 20th century, you shit yourself to death. It's called dysentery. People never drank water ever. Only alcohol, because it was safe. You drank beer all day long. All day long. When you were on a... Oh, sweet. Awesome. Who's this from? Oh, nice. Dude, I love friends. Because the big bear needs some honey. You know what I mean? Feed the bear. Cheers, Naples. Dude, 2017 is going to be a blast. And we're going to bring them together tonight. Oh, great. Pure semen. That's a man's cum. Do you guys know that this is a comedy fucking show? People are like, whoa. Do you guys understand irony, hyperbole, sarcasm? Are these things not registered? Because if so, I can just start smashing watermelons and shit. Because I'm here for you. I'm here to make you happy. It's not about me. I've done thousands of these. It's about you. What do you want? Because if you really did react that way to me saying that that was semen and not tequila, we're going to have a long, tough road tonight. Because that was like a joke for a 9-year-old. Like, that was, I got pee-pee in my coke. The Chinese put pee-pee coke. Very fundamental shit, guys. Me Chinese, me play joke, and that shit. Me go pee-pee in your coke. Because the Chinese are all about going pee-pee in your coke. The Koreans will pee-pee in your Pepsi. Oh, whoa. God, I love you. You're a good-hearted chick. I like your vibes. But what I'm saying isn't real. I mean, it's real. Like, the shit about my wife is all real. But, like, that's not common. Oh, can I have your hat? No way. Thank you. Jesus, you're awesome. What are you drinking? Is that a margarita? Yeah. Nice. Ja, 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 ja. Remember the butt scanner? Good. So, anyway, back in the day, everyone was always hammered. Like when Christopher Columbus came here, all of those ships, they didn't have water on the ship. That shit went bad. It was only rum. Does anyone here know this shit? Like, can you validate that this is fact? All right, so it's just rum. So they're on the high seas for 5 months. They think the world's flat. They're only drinking dark liquor all the time. Hungover every day on a fucking boat. Just pounding rum with a bunch of fucking dudes that are like crazy. When you're that hungover and twisted and wasted and just evil, the first thing you're gonna do is kill a fucking ton of Native Americans. Even though sin cast the first stone, man, I have been hungover with rum, and I never killed a Native American, but I looked at a casino with disdain. Do that shit in the high seas for 5 months, you're fucking killing Pocahontas. You know that's the history of our country? Awesome. Pyramids. Remember those guys, the Egyptians? Only beer. So, there's some good crowd members. Because I haven't said anything funny yet in this part, and you still were with me, I appreciate that. It shows loyalty. I actually kind of fucked up. I wrote this today, so it might be my fault, but it's not funny. In fact, I'm wearing a plastic hat like a fucking clown. This is a human nature experiment, not a show. Something is off here. Did someone get raped right before I went on stage? Whoa.
Whoa.
Hey, whoa, man. Hey, whoa. 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 Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something. I'm going to bail on that, on the alcohol joke. I'm not going to go with the history shit. It's not the night for it. Tonight's the night to talk about fucking. And sucking. You get sucked off and jerked off. I just really...
Okay, so... I couldn't even get through the joke. I'm not going to do too many of these long-winded rants because I did over 2 hours this show because it was a New Year's show and it started at 9 p.m. And normally I like to do something for the countdown and I was trying to just stretch it all the way, but I think they booked a DJ or some shit because I like to do a 10, 9, 8, 7. The year before I was at Levity Live and the year before that, I've done a New Year's show every year for probably 10 years. And I've never not been on stage for it. So this is a long show, so I'm not going to dive into it. But just to go through this, the water joke is one of my favorite new jokes. But I did make a misstep. I shouldn't have said shit yourself, because that's what dysentery is. Like if you drink water before there was purification problems, you literally just expelled to death. And I just think it's off-putting. I personally don't like a lot of bathroom humor, but I thought I'd give that a shot to make it extra poignant as to why people didn't drink water, but it's not necessary, and it kind of sets a stupid tone. But I didn't even get to the rest of it. My favorite parts are the Egyptians, when they're just drinking beers, and everybody's like, Pharaoh, you have so much wealth and power and money, and there's all these people that are going to build whatever you want. What do you want, Pharaoh? And he's like, triangles in the dirt. And it's like, what? It's like, make big triangles out there in the fucking dirt. For what reason? None. Just to honor me. And make a lot of fucking false passageways to confuse the Jews that are building it. And if you like history, that's wicked funny. But these people don't. And I could sense that. Another thing, the whole joke about cum, and I'm like, oh, that's pure semen. And they didn't laugh, and they kind of got off-put. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I doubled down. I was like, that's a man's cum. Because I thought that'd really get them. And they weren't having it. But then I wasn't having it, so I told them they were fucking wrong. I'm starting to realize, this is going to sound arrogant, but it's not. I'm way better with big crowds. Like, I'm made for arenas and shit. I just am. I don't get angry at them. I love them. The bigger the show, the less likely I will get angry at the crowd. The small, entitled crowds that just talk shit and act entitled, fuck them. Yeah, and I held on to that calm thing. Check this out. This is later in the show. Listen to this. Someone sent me another shot.
I'm going to get so drunk that I won't feel uncomfortable about how weird you guys are treating me. Have you guys been drinking a lot today? Is that what it is? You guys are like, eh. Did they have to drive here? Uber. Oh, Uber changed the game. Nice. So now I'll treat you different. Now I know you're hammered. I thought you soberly were going, what? You guys think I'm a dragon. That's fine. Semen. That was from a horse's cock. That is good. That's going to be a runner. That's valuable cum right there. I got buddies that have horses. They're all into horse racing and shit. Very cum oriented. And you guys have horses, like prize horses. Everyone's like, no, like he makes for a great breeder. I'm like, you jerk off your horse, man. Like, I know that now. Someone's jerking that horse off. Think Seabiscuit dies with all that cum? No, people were fucking trying to get it out. Think it was a poison and snake wounds. And a snake wound. Snake bite. Yeah, I just did 3 fucking shots of Patron in a row. My bad. Happy fucking New Year, baby! So, I love dogs.
Yeah, I said a snake wound. That's weird. So, I finally made the cum thing work because I just kept grinding it to death. You know, I'll never do it again. But this is how stupid I got. I was trying to relate because the crowd was really wealthy. I was trying to relate to them. So I was riffing on horse racing because I do know some of my very wealthy friends do have horses. And I'm trying to like make horse racing funny for these guys. And so, of course, I just started talking about how they have to jerk off their horses. That was a misstep. I don't think that horse owners wanted to, like, admit that they're constantly thinking about horse cum, because they are. You know, like, a champion horse, it's worth its weight in its own cum. They're always selling and buying cum. And so someone's jerking the horse. They don't, like, tell the horse to have we need your sperm sample. Like, they have to do it themselves. You know, I respect that. All right, here's a riff. Me and Mike were riffing on the letter Q earlier in the day. And so I was just kind of riffing on stage with it. And I think I actually came up with something that could work in the future.
You guys are good. You just like sexual shit. Jesus Christ, guys. Who said don't do it? Yeah. Listen to the devil on my shoulder. My guy's like, no, drink it. All right, this is going to be it for a little bit, though. Or else I'm just going to start masturbating on stage. I'm going to be like, do you want to see cum? I'll be like very innocent about it, but... Tequila with a Q. And no, those are real. You want to smell it? Come here. I'm an animal? We all are, you know what I mean? You ever notice black people's names have a lot of Q's in them? It's almost like their moms love Scrabble. Because that's a big point letter. Like, white people have like Quinn, you know, but all the Quinn, you know, throw a Q in there, it's a black man. What's that?
No way.
10 points. Triple fucking word that shit? Yeah, but you gotta get a U. That's why it's called the Q of Insanity. I hate the J. The J sucks. Because the J is like 8 points, but it's like nothing as J's. The only words that start with J, unless you're doing Spanish Scrabble. But no one plays Spanish Scrabble. Like trabajo, you know, there's a lot of J's. Because the J sounds like an H, which is weird because they have the H. It's like, no, H, yeah, H is here. But J, you want to sound like H? And H is like... It's like, no, but we can do that with a J. Jose, it's like, that is Jose. It's a union issue at that point. You know, what is the H in Spanish? Talk to me, Spanish people in the back. No, but not really, that's J. Give me a word with the H in it, with a Spanish word. Huevos. Huevos, yeah, huevos is a good one. Where's the H in that? Huevos. Huevos, yeah, but that's like saying what. You know, like, whip. No one says that, huevos. Huevos, no, you're trying to like make H feel okay about a situation. I love Spanish language because you learn a lot about people, and it's beautiful language.
All right, so there's something there. I don't know. I'm just going to show you one more quick thing here. Oh, yeah. And then I want to discuss what this is about here.
Comedy is about fucking pushing shit, making people on the way home go, I don't know if that's right. What do you think? I think it is right. Now we're going to talk as a family and not stare at screens like fucking moths. That's my job. You come to the Comedy Dungeon, I say crazy shit, and then everyone grows from it. Don't limit me and make me like you guys. Like, oh, I got a fucking investments. No, I'll burn it. I'll burn it and drink the rum and come to America and kill a Native American. That's my job. Don't make porn stars fall in love with each other when they fuck. They fuck for you. The military kills people for you. I talk for you. Don't fucking cross streams. So anyway, my dogs are all outside.
Yeah, because I still haven't gotten through my dog joke. I'm like 40 minutes in at this point. Anyway, I was thinking about that, listening to Meryl Streep's speech at the Golden Globes. And if you want to learn more, just go to Patreon. But I think that the fear that Donald Trump talking like an asshole is going to affect people comes from people being scared that they don't actually raise their own children. That's my theory. Because my parents were always there for us. Like, they raised us. So they knew that, you know, if somebody famous did something shitty, they could put it in context for us and show us why it wasn't good. And then we'd all move on with our lives. I think that modern culture, you know, I don't think that parents have that close of a relationship with their children anymore. For a variety of reasons, I think that life has gotten so expensive that both parents have to work. And, you know, the kids are raised by little screens. And so they're putting so much emphasis on celebrities to be perfect and to always be great role models that because they I guess accurately think that their kids are going to listen to the screen in their pocket more than them because they don't spend any time with them. And what it's doing is I do a lot of sports analogies because I played sports my whole life. And in football, everybody has a role. You know, if you're a offensive guard, what you do is everything you do is to protect the quarterback, protect the ball. And then if they hand it off to somebody, you protect the runner. So your entire job is just to keep defensive people away from your guys. That's it. Now let's say one of the offensive guards starts thinking that the running back isn't good enough. And so right in the middle of a play, he grabs the football and tries to run with it. That will never go well. Let's say that same offensive guard doesn't think the quarterback is doing a good job, so he just snatches the ball and just throws it down the field. That's not going to do well, because if you have a job to do, you have to do that job. Like if you're a train conductor, your whole job is trains. Like keep the train on the track. If you then want to get into flying planes, I don't know. You know what I'm saying. I don't have to go down this road. But the comedian's job is to be provocative. It is to push buttons. It is to say things that aren't said a lot. Now, when I'm doing a corporate event or when I'm opening for the Impractical Jokers, I don't swear. I don't push the crowd's buttons. I try to just go as big as I can. But when it's my show, my job is to make people think so that on the way home, they can discuss it and they can come up with their own opinions. If you limit that, everything falls apart, because then you seek that from someone else. Then you seek provocativeness from a president or, you know, people that shouldn't be responsible for pushing buttons. When you limit people's speech, and the left is now pushing, you know, the freedom of press so hard. We need freedom of speech, freedom of speech. They destroyed freedom of speech. They publicly shamed anyone who disagreed with them for the last 8 years. I don't think they are owning up to that fact, that anyone who went against Obama or Beyonce or Jay-Z or I don't know, the gay guy who always runs around the street asking people questions, Caitlyn Jenner. If you go against these people, they then shut you up. They send a swarm against you so that you're not allowed to talk. So now you're looking at so now you want people to be provocative because you're not allowed to talk. The irony of Donald Trump is he is the underdog. He is the rebellion against the empire. And I say that's ironic because he isn't an underdog and he is corporate America. It's just the left pushed it so far that everyone's just shocked and appalled all the time until they seek that release from a president. And I called this a year before he got elected, by the way. And I know everybody now is already sick of, this is why Trump was elected. I was saying it before and no one listened. That if you push people this far, I didn't think he was going to win, but you can't not do your job. And so it's all about raising the kids. I had Theo Von on my podcast like a year ago and he kept saying that. And I loved it. He kept saying, yeah, but who's raising the kids? You know, he's talking about women working. And he has this way of doing this boyish charm when he says something that sounds a little off, you know, like that women shouldn't work as much. But he's like, but who's raising the kids? We're forgetting about the kids. And you know what? I fucking agree with him. I think women should have all the rights in the world to do anything they want. But if you got young kids, you got to be around them to put things in context, to show that grabbing pussies isn't a good thing. I don't know. It's just, and this shit isn't political. It's cultural. These are cultural issues. So as I just get drunker and drunker on stage, I just get more and more. I remember I did a sex joke and someone went like, and I went, the only reason you have breath in this world is because your dad fucked your mom and came inside your mom. Like, how dare you think that you can have moral superiority over sex? Like, you're offended because I'm just saying what is reality? Do you think you're above dirt? You're above cum. You're above blood. You're above mortality. You're above hate and rage. You think you're above this shit? Meryl Streep? You think that you've never abused your fucking power? Everybody has. Everybody has. And unless you acknowledge your own demons, your own problems, your own bullshit, you can't possibly comment on others. And comedians are some of the only people that actually, for a living, like, address their demons publicly in front of strangers of all backgrounds, all races, all countries, all economics, all genders. We got to do that shit live every fucking night. So yeah, I know something about this shit. All right, that's my 2 cents. Maybe that's 3 cents. My 3 cents, bitch. So I got to go. I'm doing Dublin tonight. So check out my... I'm also doing Sacramento Punchline and the Hollywood Improv and Dr. Grins in the month of February. So that's Michigan, Los Angeles, and Sacramento. And that's all I'm taking. I'm going to be home as much as possible in February. So that's going to be it. I will not take any more gigs in February. I have been on the road so much that it is insane. So check out those dates, hugepianist.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Email me, whydon'tthelaugh@gmail.com, if you have any ideas for any of these jokes about drunk history. And I know that's a show on Comedy Central, but it's a different angle. I'm not taking their idea. My idea is that people were actually drunk all the time in history. And I've been studying this shit since the late 90s when I was a World War II history major. And to read about Winston Churchill was always drunk. He started drinking when he woke up. Stalin, Hitler had so many big victories in the original invasion of Russia because Stalin was on a 2-week vodka bender. Alexander the Great lost a lot of troops from drinking competitions. They were always wasted. These people were always wasted. And when you look at... Dan Carlin has this great series called Hardcore History, and a lot of people just listen to the shit on the podcasts. But if you go to iTunes and download some of his other episodes, he's unbelievable, guys. Dan Carlin is unbelievable. And one episode is called History Under the Influence. And he analyzes all these historical things from people that were clearly wasted. And I love that shit because it's so true. That if you're always drunk or hungover, you're going to do a lot of fucked up shit. And I've changed another part of that joke where instead of saying I get weird with Indian casinos, I say, I've been so hungover that when a maid comes to my door, I yell at her. Because I think everyone has actually felt that way. When they're like, service, can I clean the room? And you're like, get the fuck out of here. And then magnify that by a million. And that's Christopher Columbus. There was nobody that didn't drink. There was no recovering alcoholic, ladies and gentlemen. And they think that a lot of the Khans after Genghis had severe drinking problems. That Kublai Khan and some of these other guys were just always just blitzed. And so it's like, yeah, we're going to fucking take over the Chinese. They go pee-pee and the coke. So comment on the podcast, subscribe, spread it around. And thank you for everyone who's joined the Patreon page. I love you people. And check out Case Closed Beers Open. A new episode is coming out soon. Mwah. Good shit.